السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحن مستعدون إن شاء الله شيخنا.
طيب، تبدأون بالمقدمة ولا نبدأ في المحاضرة إن شاء الله؟
نبدأ باستخدام هذه شيخنا ثم تشرعون إن شاء الله.
طيب تفضلوا، الله المستعان.
الله يزيد فضلك. Indeed, all praises to Allah. We praise Him. We seek His aid and we ask His forgiveness. And we bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is a slave and his final messenger. With us on the phone today is the Shaykh, the noble Shaykh Abu Hazim Muhammad ibn Husni al-Salafi hafizahullahu ta'ala, from the well-known Shuyukh of Egypt. And the Shaykh Jazahullah Khairan has agreed to address us today regarding the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, statement in which he says that surely there shall continue to be a group from my nation that shall remain upon the truth victorious. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this topic beneficial for all of those who participate and to reward the Shaykh lavishly for the time he is giving us. And without further prolonging, we ask the Shaykh to begin. فليتفضل شيخنا مشكورا نسأل الله له جزيل الثواب.
الحمد لله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وجعل الظلمات والنور ثم الذين كفروا بربهم يعدلون. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد، يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد ثبت في الصحيحين من طرق متعددة عن غير واحد من الصحابة رضي الله عنهم أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق، لا يضرهم من خذلهم حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم كذلك. وهذا السياق إنما هو للإمام مسلم رحمه الله تعالى من حديث ثوبان رضي الله عنه، وهذا هو ما سنعتمده إن شاء الله تعالى في محاضرتنا الليلة في الكلام على هذا الحديث الشريف العظيم، وسنضم إليه بعض الزيادات المهمة من حديث غيره من الصحابة رضي الله عنهم. فهذا هو محور حديثنا الليلة، نتعرض لهذا الحديث الشريف وما فيه من المعاني العظيمة والفوائد الجليلة التي نحن أمس ما نكون من الاحتياج إليها، لا سيما في واقعنا هذا. نسأل الله عز وجل الهداية والتوفيق لكل خير. نعم.
الشيخ جزاه الله خيرا. He began by praising Allah, the one who has created the heavens and the earth and made the darkness and the light. And then the disbelievers continue to hold equals unto him. And he bears witness that there is no deity worthy of worship besides Allah, to whom all dominion belongs, and to him is surely all of praise. And he is the giver of life and the bringer of death, and surely he is capable upon everything. And likewise he bears witness that there is no that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم is the slave and messenger of Allah. To proceed, indeed it has been authentically narrated in both al-Bukhari and Muslim from several chains of narration leading back to a number of the companions of the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in which he said, surely that should continue to be a group from my nation upon the truth victorious, and they shall not be harmed by whoever lets them down or does not aid them. until the affair of Allah comes upon them whilst they remain as such. And this particular narration is the one that is narrated by Thawban radiallahu ta'ala anhu, amongst the companions, and it is found in the book of Imam Muslim. And this shall be the basis of the discussion of tonight, and this shall be the base narration from which we will begin. And we will, by the permission of Allah, add to it the benefits found in the other narrations and the additional wording found in the other narrations of the same hadith. And tonight, inshallah, this will be the topic of discussion, this tremendous hadith and the lofty benefits found in it. Benefits that surely, and meanings that surely, we are in the greatest and most dire need of, especially in this particular day of ours, in this day and age.
نبدأ إن شاء الله تعالى ببيان المعنى الإجمالي للحديث من خلال التعرض لكل جملة من جمله على حدة وبيان ما فيها من المعنى، ثم نخوض من بعد ذلك في الكلام على المسائل الرئيسية التي اشتمل عليها، ونذكر شيئا مما يتعلق بها إن شاء الله تعالى. قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تزال، هذه الكلمة في لغة العرب تدل على الاستمرار والتتابع والتواصل، والمعنى أن الشأن الذي سيذكره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هنا لهذه الطائفة ليس شأنا متوقفا، ليس شأنا جامدا، وإنما هو شأن مستمر متواصل تتتابع عليه هذه الطائفة وتستمر عليه وتثبت إن شاء الله تعالى. نعم.
يا شيخ جزاه الله خيرا. He said surely we shall begin إن شاء الله with the clarification of the general outline and meaning of this particular hadith. And this shall be examined by, or rather this shall be studied by examining its sentences one by one. And then after that we will delve into its main points of benefit and some of the takeaways from those points by the permission of Allah. The first statement in which he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la tazal, there shall continue to be, this is a statement in the language of the Arab that indicates continuity and indicates a link, such that the affair that is going to be described by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an affair that shall not be severed, an affair that will not stop or cease, but rather it is an affair that will continue for this group and an affair that they shall remain upon, and it is an affair that they will never fall off of by the permission of Allah.
قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم طائفة، الطائفة في لغة العرب تصدق على الرجل الواحد فما فوقه، فلا يشترط في معناها عدد كثير من الناس، بل تصدق هذه اللفظة حتى مع وجود رجل واحد فقط. وقد تنوعت عبارات أهل العلم في المراد بهذه الطائفة هنا، فقال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله في ذكر تبويبه لهذا الحديث باب قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين، قال البخاري رحمه الله هم أهل العلم. وقال الإمام علي بن المديني والإمام أحمد بن حنبل وغيرهما هم أهل الحديث، ولا تنافي بين القولين، فإن أهل العلم هم أهل الحديث، وأهل الحديث هم أهل العلم. فالمراد بالطائفة هنا على كل حال أهل العلم، أهل السنة، أهل الحق، أهل الهداية، أهل التمسك بسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وما جاء في دين الله عز وجل. نعم.
جزاه الله خيرا. He continued reciting from the hadith. And as for his statement, صلى الله عليه وسلم, طائفة, a group, this particular word described the group, the word طائفة, in the language of the Arabs, is actually a flexible word that allows for any number of people beginning from even just one individual, such that a single man can be called a ta'ifa, and any number upward of that can as well be called a ta'ifa. And so it is not the condition for this word to be used that you must be describing a large number of people, but even one is acceptable. Surely, the people of knowledge have various interpretations for this particular statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam al-Bukhari, he mentioned, as he titled the chapter heading for this particular hadith, chapter heading on the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, surely a group from my nation shall remain upon the truth victorious. He said, هم أهل العلم, they are indeed the people of knowledge. Al-Imam Ali ibn al-Madini, and likewise Al-Imam Ahmad and others, they said, they are the people of Hadith, the scholars of Hadith. The Shaykh comments here, he says, and there is no contradiction between these two statements, because the people of knowledge are the people of Hadith, and the people of Hadith are the people of knowledge. And they are the same as the people of the Sunnah. So it's the people of the knowledge, the people of the sunnah, the people of hadith, the people of the truth, the people of guidance, the people of adherence to the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and whatever was revealed in this religion. These are all the same group. And these are all different references to the same entity.
قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أمتي. الأمة عند العلماء تنقسم إلى قسمين: أمة الدعوة وأمة الإجابة. فأما أمة الدعوة فهي التي خوطبت بالدعاء إلى الإسلام، هي التي تخاطب بالدخول في الإسلام، هي التي تدعى إلى الدخول في الإسلام. ومنه قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم كما ثبت في صحيح مسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه: والذي نفسي بيده لا يسمع بي أحد من هذه الأمة يهودي ولا نصراني ثم لا يؤمن بالذي أرسلت به إلا كان من أصحاب النار. فنجده صلى الله عليه وسلم هنا يذكر لفظ الأمة ويدخل فيها اليهود والنصارى، فليس المقصود بالأمة هنا من انقاد لدعوة الإسلام ودخل في دين الله عز وجل، وإنما المقصود من وجهت إليه الدعوة ابتداء وطلب منه أن يكون من أهل هذا الدين. وأما أمة الإجابة فهي الأمة التي دخلت بالفعل في دين الإسلام، هم المسلمون الذين استجابوا لدعوة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وقالوا لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. وعليه فقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في هذا الحديث من أمتي يراد به أمة الإجابة، أمة الإسلام، أمة التوحيد. وقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من، هذا حرف جر يفيد التبعيض، والمعنى أن هذه الطائفة التي تكلم عنها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جزء من الأمة، بعض من الأمة، ليست جميع الأمة. وهذا فيه إشارة إلى وصف الغربة كما سيأتي بيانه إن شاء الله تعالى. نعم.
شيخ جزاه الله خيرا. He continued, he said, and as for his statement صلى الله عليه وسلم, from my nation, the word here Ummah, which is translated nation, has two meanings in accordance with the explanations of the people of knowledge. And that is the nation that has been addressed with the message of Islam, regardless of whether they have accepted Islam or not. And then the nation that has actually accepted Islam after being invited to it. The first one is called Ummatul Da'wah, the Ummah of the calling. And the second one is called Ummatul Ijabah, the Ummah of responding, the respondent nation. And so, from the ahadith that indicate the usage of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the word nation to even include the non-Muslims who are being invited to Islam, is that statement in which he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is narrated by Imam Muslim on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I swear by the one whom my soul is in his hand, surely none from my from this ummah, none from this nation shall hear about me, be he Jew or Christian, and then not believe in that which I have been sent with, except that he shall enter the fire of hell. The Shaykh comments, he says, we find here that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, none from this ummah, from this nation, and yet he said, be he Jew or Christian. So he included the Jews and the Christians in the definition of the word ummah, in the definition of the nation. So this is an indication that he is talking about the nation that is being called to Islam, the nation that is being invited to submit to the religion of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, rather than specifically talking about those who have responded and accepted the religion of Allah jalla wa ala. However, in the hadith that we are studying tonight, the nation that is being spoken about is specifically that nation that has accepted Islam, the Muslimun, the people of La ilaha illallah and Muhammad Rasulullah, those who have stated testimony of the faith. So these people, the people of Tawheed, the people of Islam, are the ones that are being discussed in this hadith, that surely a group shall remain from amongst them. And his usage of the word from sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Arabic, min, which is known as harfu jar, a letter that causes the noun that follows it to be in a genitive state, is actually a letter used to indicate portion or portionality, such that it is being used to indicate that a portion of that which follows it is what is being discussed. So a portion of his nation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shall be upon the truth victorious. And this herein leads to a benefit. It indicates that at that time, the entire nation of Islam will not be upon the truth. And this is a reference and a hint at the affair of becoming strangers again, which is something we will touch upon further as we continue. Fadhlu Shaykh.
قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم ظاهرين على الحق، الظهور هو الوضوح والبيان. ونلاحظ في عبارة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هنا لفتة بلاغية عظيمة من خلال إتيانه بكلمة الظهور مع حرف الجر على، الذي يفيد الاستعلاء. والمعنى الذي ينبغي لنا أن نستشعره عندما نسمع مثل هذا الكلام أن الحق يعلو بصاحبه، فقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم ظاهرين على الحق معناه أن الحق أظهرهم وأعلاهم وبين أمرهم للناس، فلم يكونوا هكذا إلا من خلال اتباعهم للحق، فهم ظاهرون واضحون مستعلون، وكل هذا لا يكون إلا بالحق. فمن أراد أن يكون هكذا فعليه أن يتمسك بالحق. وفي حديث معاوية رضي الله عنه، وهو من طرق حديثنا هذا، زيادة أو جاء بلفظ آخر فيه: قائمة بأمر الله، لا تزال طائفة من أمتي قائمة بأمر الله. فهذه اللفظة تؤكد معنى اللفظة الأولى، فالظهور على الحق والاستعلاء به لا يكون إلا من خلال القيام بأمر الله. تقوم هذه الطائفة بأمر الله عز وجل، أي بدينه وشريعته، في أنفسها وفي غيرها بحسب الإمكان. وهذه الجملة فيها إشارة إلى أنه لا بد من قائم بالحق في هذه الأمة، كما سيأتي بيانه إن شاء الله تعالى. نعم.
الله يبارك فيكم. شيء جزاه الله خيرا. He continued. He said, and as for his statement صلى الله عليه وسلم that they shall continue to remain victorious and apparent upon the truth, there is an indication that they shall be apparent and visible. And we notice in his sentence structure, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an extremely eloquent and subtle reference that has tremendous benefit in it, which is that he mentioned their victory and their apparentness along with the usage of the word ala, or upon, which indicates being upon something, being on top of it, being higher than that which you are upon. And so the meaning that we should take away from the usage of this type of sentence structure and what we should be noticing is that
shall
cause the one who is upon it to rise with it.
هو كده سامع ولا سامع؟ ما قلت خلاص.
So by their adherence to the truth and following of it, the truth made them apparent and raised them above the people, and their affair became well known and public. All of this through their adherence and following of the truth. All of this cannot be attained except through adherence to the truth. So it is upon everyone who wishes to attain this elevation that he should be raised by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it is upon him to hold on tenaciously to the truth. And from the different, or from the other narrations of this particular hadith that we are studying tonight, is the narration of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in which he adds a wording. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَائِمَةً بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ, continuing to uphold the religion of Allah. And this particular added benefit found in that narration indicates further the meaning that we are discussing right now, that they have been raised by the truth, because surely none shall be raised by the truth except those who uphold the religion of Allah. So it is as if that their raising and their eminence has been attained because of the fact that they have upheld the religion of Allah and acted upon it, firstly in themselves and their families, and then on the people that are around them. And herein is an indication, as we shall discuss further, that at all times there shall always remain amongst this nation those who are upon the affair of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, upholding his religion.
قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يضرهم من خذلهم بيان لشأن هذه الطائفة الطيبة المنصورة من أنها لا يضرها شيء من قبل أعدائها. وقد وقع هنا في حديث ثوبان رضي الله عنه ذكر نوع واحد من أنواع الأعداء وهم المخذلون. قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من خذلهم، الخذلان هو ترك المعونة، وأصله ترك الشيء والقعود عنه. هكذا جاء في حديث ثوبان رضي الله عنه، وفي حديث معاوية رضي الله عنه ذكر نوع آخر في قوله أو خالفهم، لا يضرهم من خذلهم أو خالفهم. فهذا هو النوع الثاني، وهم المخالفون، أي الذين يصرحون بالمخالفة والمباينة. فأفادتنا هذه الجملة من الحديث أن أعداء الحق وأهله على قسمين، المخالفون والمخذلون، وأنهم لا يضرون الحق ولا أهله في شيء، وسيأتي بيان هذا أيضا إن شاء الله تعالى. نعم.
الله يبارك فيكم. شيء جزاه الله خيرا. Continued. And as for his statement صلى الله عليه وسلم that surely those who let them down will not harm them is a clarification regarding the affair of this blessed and victorious and goodly group with their efforts. And this narration that we are studying and using as the basis of our study today, the narration of Thawban, it is clear from the words of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he mentioned only one of the types of enemy to the people of the truth, those who let them down, the lessers down. And to let someone down, al-khizlan, is to refrain from aiding and helping and supporting them. And the origin of it in the language is to leave off something and to refrain from it. As for the hadith, the narration of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, therein is a mention of another type of their enemy, where he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man khazalahum aw khalafahum. Whoever lets them down shall not harm them, nor those who differ with them. So this is the second type of enemy to the people of truth, those who differ with them. Meaning, those who outwardly, apparently, and publicly declare that they are against them, differ with them, and have a different understanding and path to their end. So we understand from the combination here, Rin, is that the types of enemies to the truth are two. Those who are enemies by their opposition to the truth, and those who are enemies by their letting down on the truth and not supporting and aiding it. And when we understand further, and this shall be discussed more in more detail by the permission of Allah, we understand further that neither enemy can harm the truth,
قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم كذلك، بيان لاستمرار هذه الطائفة الطيبة على شأنهم العظيم من الثبات على الحق والظهور عليه، فهم يستمرون على هذا ويدومون حتى يأتي أمر الله تعالى. وقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهم كذلك إشارة إلى ثباتهم واستقرارهم، فإن هذا هو مدلول هذه الجملة في لغة العرب من ناحية الجملة الإسمية. وفي حديث معاوية رضي الله عنه حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم ظاهرون على الناس. هذا بيان لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث ثوبان وهم كذلك، أي وهم ظاهرون على الناس، فظهورهم لا يزال باقيا ولا يزال مستمرا حتى يأتي أمر الله عز وجل. والمقصود بأمر الله تعالى هنا على الصحيح من أقوال العلماء إن شاء الله ما يكون في آخر الزمان عند نزول المسيح عيسى بن مريم عليه السلام، فقد أخبر نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أن المسيح عليه السلام ينزل في آخر الزمان ويمكث في الأرض ما شاء الله له أن يمكث، ثم بعد ذلك عندما يقبض عليه السلام يرسل الله تعالى ريحا طيبة تقبض كل نفس مؤمنة، وعندئذ لا يبقى في الأرض إلا شرار الخلق وعليهم تقوم الساعة. فمعنى الحديث هنا حتى يأتي أمر الله، أي حتى يأتي ما أراده الله عز وجل من رفع الحق جملة من الأرض، فإن الساعة لا تقوم حتى لا يقال في الأرض الله الله، كما ثبت في الحديث أيضا عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في صحيح مسلم. فالحاصل أن هذه الطائفة الطيبة المنصورة تستمر على شأنها من الثبات على الحق والظهور عليه حتى يقع ما أخبر به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في آخر الزمان من قبض جميع المؤمنين ورفع الحق جملة من الأرض. نعم.
As for his statement, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until the affair of Allah comes upon them or comes whilst they're upon that affair, herein is an indication from him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they shall continue to remain upon that affair, an indication of their firmness and their lack of wavering and not shifting stance, that they will continue to be prominent and eminent until the affair of Allah Azza wa Jalla comes, and his statement وَهُمْ كَذَلِكْ whilst they're upon that affair is further the ratification of that meaning due to the fact that he used a sentence that is known as جُمْلَةُ الْإِسْمِيَّةِ, a sentence that begins with a noun, and this is a more amplifying way and method of sharing that meaning, the meaning of steadfastness and remaining upon that affair. In the other narration, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَهُمْ ظَاهِرُونَ عَلَى النَّاسِ, whilst they are prominent over the people. And so we take it that this is a clarification of the meaning found in the particular wording that we are studying whilst they are upon that affair. And so we understand, whilst they're upon the affair of the truth, whilst they are still prominent and eminent and over the other people. And this indicates that they shall remain prominent and victorious until the affair of Allah comes. And what is intended here by the affair of Allah, in accordance with the strongest of the opinions of people of knowledge, inshaAllah, is a reference to the affairs that will happen near the end of time, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us of the affair of the descent of Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam nearing the end of time. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that al-Masih Isa ibn Maryam will come down from the heavens and remain in the earth for as long as Allah Azza wa Jal shall wish that he will remain. And then, at the time of his death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a goodly wind, a pure wind, that shall collect the souls of all of the believers, such that none shall remain upon the earth except for the most vile of creation. And it is upon them that the hour of judgment shall begin. Meaning that when he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until the affair of Allah comes and there upon that affair, it is a reference to those events that shall happen near the coming of the hour. That they shall remain upon the truth, victorious and prominent until that wind is sent to collect all of the people who are good, all of the people of the faith. And in the hadith narrated by Imam Muslim, the Messenger ﷺ has told us that surely the hour will not begin, the day of judgment will not begin until there is none left upon the earth who says Allah, Allah. So, the summary is that this group from the nation of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ shall remain upon the affair of the truth and shall remain prominent, victorious and apparent, unhidden, upon that affair, all the way until the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided that He will remove the truth from the earth one go and remove all of the people of the truth from the earth as well.
نلخص الآن ما تقدم من معنى الحديث. يخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بأنه لا تزال طائفة من هذه الأمة قائمة بأمر الله عز وجل ظاهرة على الحق. هذه طائفة طيبة متبعة متمسكة بالحق. يخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن وجودها في هذه الأمة وإن قلت وإن قل عددها. يخبر صلى الله عليه وسلم عن وجودها وبقائها متمسكة بالحق ثابتة عليه. ويخبر صلى الله عليه وسلم أن لها أعداء ينقسمون إلى مخالفين ومخذلين، وأن هؤلاء الأعداء لا يضرون هذه الطائفة في شيء، بل لا تزال متمسكة بالحق مستمرة في شأنها حتى يأتي أمر الله تبارك وتعالى وهم ثابتون ظاهرون مستمرون. هذا هو المعنى الإجمالي للحديث، ونحن نستنبط منه ثلاث مسائل رئيسية نتكلم عليها بالتفصيل إن شاء الله تعالى بحسب ما يسمح به المقام. المسألة الأولى ظهور الحق في هذه الأمة. المسألة الثانية غربة الحق. المسألة الثالثة أعداء الحق. ثم نختم بعد ذلك بنصيحة جامعة في شأن الغربة التي يكون فيها المسلم السني المتبع. نسأل الله عز وجل أن يهدينا ويرشدنا ويوفقنا. نعم
شيخ جزاك الله خيرا. We continue saying now we will summarize everything that we have covered thus far. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم tells us in this hadith that surely a group shall remain from this nation upon the truth, upholding the religion of Allah, victorious over their enemy, victorious upon the truth. A goodly group, a group of pious individuals who follow the truth, who are adherent and tenacious in their adherence. Even though their numbers may be few, they continue to exist, and that existence is continuing throughout the age of this nation. He informs us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this group shall have enemies. Those who oppose it, and those who let it down. And he informs us that this group shall not be harmed by those enemies. And that despite the enemy, they will continue to be adherent to the truth and continue to remain upon their affair, eminent and victorious, until the affair of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes upon them. This is the summary and concise explanation of the hadith. And then we will proceed to cover three primary issues that we have extracted from this hadith, and then we will finish by mentioning a general advice. The three issues, or the three primary issues that we have extracted, is that the truth shall always be prominent in this ummah, in this nation. This is the first. The second is that the truth shall be a stranger. And the third is that the truth shall have enemies. And then the general advice is an advice to every Muslim who is upon the Sunnah, who is keen on following in the footsteps of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advice that should be given to the Muslim given these times of fitna.
المسألة الأولى معنا من هذا الحديث هي ظهور الحق في هذه الأمة، وهذا استفدناه من قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق. فأخبر صلى الله عليه وسلم أن الحق لا بد أن يكون موجودا في هذه الأمة ولو كان القائم به أقل الناس، فلا بد للمسلم أن يعتقد هذا، لا بد أن يعتقد أن هذه الأمة لها فضل عظيم وشأن كبير عند الله عز وجل، ومن ذلك أنه اختصها بأنه لا بد أن يكون الحق موجودا فيها، فلا يجوز في هذه الأمة أن يضيع الحق، أن لا يكون له وجود، لا يجوز أن يأتي على الأمة وقت لا يستطيع فيه الناس أن يتوصلوا إلى الحق أو يعرفوه، هذا لا يجوز بنص كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هذا. ومن باب أولى كما بين أهل العلم يكون إجماع الأمة حجة وحقا وصوابا. وجه الدلالة أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أخبر بوجود الحق في هذه الأمة وإن كان حامله طائفة منها، وإن كان حامل الحق بعض الأمة، فكيف بجميعها؟ كيف لو اتفقت الأمة على شيء وأجمعت على شيء؟ فهذا لابد أن يكون حقا وصوابا. والمسألة مكررة على وجهها في الكلام على مباحث الإجماع. فهذه أول مسألة معنا، لابد أن نعتقد اعتقادا جازما أن الحق موجود في هذه الأمة وظاهر، لا يجوز أن يكون مسترا ولا يجوز أن يكون خفيا، وكذلك أهله لا بد أن يكونوا بين الناس ظاهرين معروفين. فلا نصدق بعد هذا من يقول إن أهل الحق لا يمكن التوصل إليهم ولا معرفتهم ولا يمكن التمييز بينهم وبين غيرهم من أهل الباطل، هذا كله كلام لا حقيقة له، ونص كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هنا يبطله. نعم.
جزاه الله خيرا. He began with praising Allah and bearing witness that there's no deity worthy of worship beside him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a slave and messenger. The first of the primary issues that we have benefited from this hadith is the issue that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified that surely there shall remain a group from this nation upon the truth apparent and victorious. So it is a benefit that the truth shall always remain available and apparent, unhidden in this ummah. And this is taken from his statement sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that surely a group from this ummah, from this nation, shall remain upon the truth victorious, apparent. So this means that the truth shall remain amongst the ranks of this nation even if the carriers of the truth are the fewest in number. So it is a must for every Muslim then to hold this as part of their creed, their faith and their belief system. That this nation has a tremendous virtue with Allah and a great deal of rank with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, such that Allah jalla wa ala had bestowed upon them from amongst the many gifts he bestowed the gift of the truth remaining amongst their ranks until his time and command comes. And so, it is impermissible to think or believe that the truth at some point shall become hidden in this nation, or that the people of the truth shall become hidden, and that the truth cannot be reached, or that there will come a time upon the people in which they will not be able to attain the truth, and if they sought it, they will not be able to reach it. This is impermissible to think or believe. And surely, a more important and salient point that comes to mind while discussing this is the matter of the consensus of the Ummah. If this hadith indicates that a small group from the Ummah at times may be the carriers of truth, then what think you if the whole Ummah unites upon an affair, then surely it must be the truth. And so, we extract from this hadith the proof that if this nation unites upon an opinion, upon a matter, upon a creed, then it must be the truth, it must be correct, it must be the religion of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because if it is to be understood that there will always remain a group upon the truth, upon the correct understanding, then surely if the entire ummah gathers upon something, then it is understood that that group is included amongst those who are consenting to the matter, thus the truth is in it. And surely this affair is covered more in depth in the books that cover the issues of the matters of consensus. So, this is a creed from the belief system of the Muslim, that he must believe in his heart unwaveringly, that the truth may never be hidden in this ummah, may never be unavailable, that the people of the truth shall never be hidden unknown individuals that cannot be reached. And so, it is to be believed that they are apparent, eminent, and well known. And this leads us to an issue, that we must disbelieve those individuals who come with the claim that the people of the truth today are unknown, that the people of the truth today are hidden. We do not believe these claims. We do not believe these people. We do not believe that there can come a time upon this nation that the people of the truth will become unknown and unrecognizable. But rather, we believe that they will always be known and prominent, and that it can be reached, and that the truth will be always available in this nation.
طيب الله المستعان. إن شاء الله توقف هنا ويكون الجزء الأول من المحاضرة عند نهاية المسألة الأولى التي هي ظهور الحق في هذه الأمة، ثم يبدأ الجزء الثاني من الكلام على غربة الحق حتى نهاية الكلام إن شاء الله. وإياك يا أخي وإياك، حياكم الله.
وإياك، السلام عليكم.
في أمان الله. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.